Hello, and thank you for being with us today as we study the Word of God. I'm glad, by the way of this technology, that we can be together and open up God's Word and learn from it things that will help us and encourage us to journey to heaven, to make that journey. Today, we're going to be studying a lesson called, This World is Not My Home. This world is not my home. We have a song in our hymnal that has that title and has that theme. We're not looking to stay on the earth because this is not our home. And our lesson today is going to begin in Hebrews chapter 11 as we read about Abraham and the patriarchs of that bygone era. In Hebrews 11 and verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." And that's exactly what we are. We are not permanent dwellers upon the earth. We are strangers here. We are pilgrims upon this earth. We do not want to stay on the earth. We're looking for something else. Hebrews 11 and 14 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Yes, the patriarchs were seeking something, but it was not something here on the earth. Verse 15, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." That wasn't the country they were looking for, because then they could have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." And so they're looking for a country, all right, but it's not a country in this world. They're desiring a better country. The Bible says a heavenly country. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 says, "By faith, when he was called out to unto a place which he should after receive as an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And so that's what we're in pursuit of. We are also pilgrims and sojourners. We're looking for something better than this old world filled with sin and filled with tears. We're in that same situation. And so it is true, this world is not our home. We are just passing through. Now let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's begin reading with verse number 9. Now every Christian is just like the old patriarch Abraham. We're journeying in a strange land. Listen to this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." So this passage tells us that we are strangers and we are pilgrims. We are a special people. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We belong to God, and God owns us, and he plans on bringing us into heaven. Here we are strangers. We don't belong here. We're strangers here. We don't fit into the world. The world doesn't understand the life that we're living and what we're pursuing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, God doesn't want us staying here. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the great God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God has our reservations in heaven for his people. It is not his plan that we should stay in this world. And so this world is not our home. We're a people who are traveling through this world, but our inheritance is definitely in heaven. As a matter of fact, in 1 John 2, beginning in verse number 15, we're told not to even love this world. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Isn't that a powerful statement? If you love the world, then you do not have the love of God. Verse 16 gives the reason why. Why can't we love the world? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Don't love the world because these things are not of God. They are of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the world is going to pass away. The lust of the world is going to pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so loving this world means we lack a desire to go to heaven. We need to lack our love of the world because the world is going to pass away. It's not going to be here. Why would we love something that is going to pass away? Back in the book of Hebrews, we're told that this world was not designed to stay here. Hebrews 1 and verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Now listen to verse 11 of Hebrews 1. They shall perish. What shall perish? The earth and the heavens. Well, I thought they were the works of God. They are, but God didn't intend for them to stay forever. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. God is not going to fade away. He's not going to grow older and decay like the world is. This world can never be our home. It is designed to actually last only temporary. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And in this passage, a very interesting point is made. Let's begin reading in verse 3 of 2 Peter 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? When is Christ going to come? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now he's going to point out that's not true. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens of old were, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They say all things remain the same as from the beginning, and that's not true. They were perished and destroyed with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Time doesn't mean anything to someone who is eternal. God is eternal. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's not putting off the destruction of the world. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why is God waiting then? Because God is a patient God, and God wants all men to repent of their sins. But when his patience is over, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What earth? What heavens? The same ones that was overflowed with water. That same earth. Well, what about it? It's going to be burned up. God's patience is going to end. His long suffering is going to stop. And when that happens, this world is going to be burned up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so God, the point is, this world is not our home. Well, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the fact that it's not going to last. It's going to wax old as a garment. It's going to be folded up and put away. It's going to be burned up and dissolved. The earth is going to be destroyed. The world, this earth, cannot be our home. We are just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so the Bible teaches that this world cannot be our home. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20, it says, for our conversation, and other renderings of that is citizenship, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so our citizenship is in heaven. And when we get into heaven, we're going to have a new body. Our vile body is going to be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful that the Bible teaches that? And so we're not to look for the things of this world, to keep them forever and ever. The Bible clearly says in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said in that wonderful and marvelous Sermon on the Mount, he says in Matthew 6 and verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. This world is not your home. It's temporary. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want my heart to be in heaven. Why is that? Because Jesus said to put your heart in heaven, put your treasures in heaven. We are citizens there. We are not citizens here upon this earth. And so let's not be looking at the things of this world. We're not going to be able to maintain them. Colossians chapter 3, and I hope you'll turn there and read with me a very important passage. Beginning with verse 1 of Colossians 3, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." What are we to seek? The things that are above. Where is that? "Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God." Well, could you explain that a little further? Yes. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are dead to this world. Matter of fact, in verse 5 he says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." And so our treasures should be in heaven. Our focus, our affections should be where the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so this world is not going to stand. Our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our focus must be in heaven. Our treasures must be in heaven. Our goal must be in heaven. Our future, if you're a Christian, you don't have a future here on this earth. Our future is in heaven. That's why this world is not my home. That's exactly why this world is not my home. Because my future is not in this world. I want to read an account with you that helps us. Is Matthew 19, beginning in verse number 16. A young man comes to Jesus. He has lots of money. And I want you to notice what Jesus tells this young man. He tells him something very important. The young man was rich. He had lots of possessions. Matthew 19, verse 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And I always understand that to mean he is God. "But if thou wilt enter into life," what did he want? He wanted eternal life, verse 16. And so Jesus is still on the subject. "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." He saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Keep the commandments." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Now watch this statement. This is why this world is not our home. Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, get rid of your earthly treasures, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He couldn't get his eyes on heaven because his eyes were still on the earth. And so from what we can ascertain from this passage, the young man turned down treasures in heaven so that he could maintain his treasures upon the earth that were going to pass away. He was going to be separated from his treasures upon the earth at the point of death. You're not taking anything with you. 1 Timothy 6 says, "It is certain we brought nothing into this world, and you can count on it that we're not taking anything out of this world." Now, the Bible clearly says that whosoever maketh himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. This world is not only not our home, but we're not to become friends of the world. James 4 and 4 says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." That's why we're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're not to love this world. We're not to hold on to this world. You know, sometimes we think this world is so very, very important, and it's not. The things of this world, the possessions of this world, are not important. In John 15 and verse 19, Jesus said, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, behold, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you." We're not of the world. We are not of this world when we become a follower of Christ. We change our perspective. And the Bible teaches us all of these things to help our perspective to remain changed. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have these important instructions or information. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 16, or verse 18. Let me get to chapter 4 and verse 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says this, verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are eternal. The seen things are temporary, but the not seen things are eternal." Now, what can we see? Well, we can see mountains and houses and cities and rivers and trees. What does the Bible say about those things? Temporal. What can we not see? Well, your soul. Well, that's eternal. Notice verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," look at there, we can see our outward man. What's it doing? It's perishing. "Yet our inward man is renewed day by day." Then verse 1 of chapter 5 says, "For we know that if the earth, if our earthly house of this tabernacle, we're dissolved," that means your body, "we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now that's just what verse 16 said. Our outward man is perishing. The earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. It's going to perish. It's going to completely come down. And I want to be with my Father in heaven. I want to be with our Father in heaven. I want to be with our Savior. We want to be there. That is home. This is not home. That is home. We are strangers and we are pilgrims and we are to abstain from fleshly lust. Let's talk about that for a moment. Fleshly lust could be our clothing, our entertainment, our conversations. You know, by our words, we're going to be justified, and by our words, we're going to be condemned. And so our words can cause us to be lost. And so abstain from fleshly lust. What's some of the fleshly lust? Talking too much. Gossiping too much. You know, we're to be a separate people, separated from this world. We cannot claim the world is our home, because it's not. It's not going to be anybody's home. We must live a holy life. We must serve God. As Christians, we must have the goal of reaching heaven. I hope you do have that as your goal, and that we can reach heaven, and we will be there together. If you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, Jesus says, "Belief and baptism saves you." Mark 16 and 16. It boils down to this. Do you believe Jesus or not? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I hope you'll think about that verse. Thank you for letting me be with you today in our Bible study as we studied about this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Thank you, and we hope and pray that you'll have a blessed day. Continue to study your Bible so that we can all be in heaven together.